Well, greetings, everyone. It's certainly good to be here today with God's people. It's such a blessing. And I'm going to, are you going to come up with me?
Sure.
This is my wife, Lisa. And so I'm glad to have her with me. So I figured it'd be good to let you see her beautiful face. Her smile is much better than mine. So yeah. Yeah, they'd rather look at you. In fact, if you want to, I'll just sit down and let you. Never mind.
Right there.
Oh, you do have. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yes. See, this is why it's important that I have her with me, because she keeps me on task and keeps me straightened out. And so she'll be running all the slides. She puts together all my slides for me. So that's awesome to have you. But she also tells me when I need to make sure that I let you know about our teaching. We do a teaching on the book of Revelation, which I'm sure that most of you don't know anything about. Now, I hear that you guys talk about the book of Revelation all the time, which is awesome. I feel like I'm going to be preaching to the choir today. But that's okay. We know what we're talking about. So that's good that we're going to be able to have good fellowship. But so our teaching is called God's Action Thriller, the Book of Revelation, because I believe that it's just an amazing book. It's amazing that people want to stay away from it so much. It just goes to show you how much that Satan likes to lie to God's people and say, don't read that book. I've had pastors tell me that when they were in seminary that they were told that you can read the book one time, but do not go back and read it anymore because you won't need it. And you got much more to teach the people about than that. And so the truth is that really everything that you need to teach the body of Christ is found in that book. All the different things about the character of Christ that we need to walk in and all these things are actually in that book. It is the revelation, the revealing of who Jesus really is. And so that's why I find that so amazing. So anyway, if we could, spend a year. We do, 26 sessions, I think it is?
Something like that.
Yeah, of course, there's 22 chapters, but I've got a lot of these side journeys I like to take. It's like the subject of the Alpha and the Omega. How many know you've got to kind of spend some time on that? You know, Jesus mentions that several times in the first chapter. And so I used to hear preachers talk about, you know, they'll only use it as something to kind of get the church riled up a little bit. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega, and the church will get to saying amen, and then they just move on. They don't ever tell you, well, what did that mean, you know? And so I really felt like that the Lord wanted me to do a deep dive and find out, well, what is he talking about? He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so we go into that, and so that's one of our side journeys. Chapter 12 of Revelation. Boy, you've got to really take a side journey on that one, because when you get there, you really get a view of, you know, what is Lucifer? What is Satan all about? Why is he here? Why didn't God send him to jail? Don't collect $200. Why didn't he just deal with him, you know, from the get-go? And why is he still on the loose today? And so you find out all these things when you do a deep dive into chapter 12. And so I do that. So these are some of the little extras that we tend to do, because I feel like you just have to do that. And so anyway, that's that. That's enough.
It's on Thursdays at 6:30. And
yeah.
It's actually at my office. So that's in the training room at my office.
Her office is?
Watson.
Watson Realty.
In the Heathrow area, next to between Fishbones and Friendly's Confine.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's right there. So you're welcome to join us. It's free to join us. It's at 6:30. So you'll see the signs out front to lead you down the path back to the back door. So we're kind of a back door kind of operation. But anyway, okay.
I mean, it's helpful to let us know so I know how many things to print out for you. But
yeah. If you do want to come, you can go to our website. It's graceforthelastdays.org. And you can register there, and that way she can know how many outlines to print out and that
sort
of thing.
And there's also our contact information in your bulletins. So they have that.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
Can I sit now?
You may sit. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I've been asked to share. I told Ken and Bob about a video that I put together, and that kind of is the overview of the book of Revelation. And so I'm going to share that at the end. Is that all right? We're going to save it for the end. And but I felt like that the Lord had given me a specific message that he wanted me to share. And And the more I think about it, I'm just going, Lord, are you sure you want me to share this message? But I really felt like that it was what he wanted me to share. And so it's called Ears to Hear. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to go ahead and get into the scriptures. And I have all this loaded onto my iPad, so I'm going to do most of it from there. And I may break out my Bible if I kind of take a detour, because that happens. So let me just pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share with this wonderful church, Lord, your people. I know that you are so in love with them and that you've got a plan for them even now. And the time is now for them to continue to bear fruit and be a light shining in the darkness. So, Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be here and fellowship with them and to be able to encourage and to impart whatever it is that you want to do. Father, this is your message. It is your word. And I just submit everything that I felt like that you had showed me. But Lord, if there's anything that you want to divert to and focus on that I didn't even think about, certainly, by all means, interrupt me. Don't let this be about Charlie, but let this be about you, Lord. May you be glorified in everything today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So my opening text is going to be 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm sure that you've seen this. By the way, I heard that you guys are started a series by Andy Woods, and that's the other thing is I'm feeling kind of some pressure here. You know, you've been listening to Andy Woods, and it's like, and here comes this little old guy, Charlie, you know, trying to speak. But anyway, we're all in this together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verses 1 through 4 is what I'm going to share with you right here. And that is, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. How many know that's going on? It's rampant in the church today, or what is called the church today. Matthew 13:15, you know, Jesus is talking about the things that were going on even in their time. And he said, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So, and then my other scripture that I wanted to share or kind of give as a text is, I'm sure you probably have studied from the book of Amos, and you know kind of the story that Israel had really just become so fallen away from God. They had really turned their backs on God, and there was so much going on from the top of the government, even the priestlyhood, and everything was just in disarray, and there was just a lot of shady goings on with the way that they were dealing with the poor, and all of these different things were happening. And so God declares this through Amos. And they said, they told Amos, because Amos was warning them of the judgment that was coming. And so they told Amos, why don't you go to Judah, and why don't you just go preach over there? Because we are tired of hearing you tell us to get right. We're tired of hearing you bringing correction to us. Why don't you go somewhere else and preach this message of yours? And so God says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. And so that seems to be kind of where we're heading today. I mean, it really, when I look around in our world today, and I look at even in the church today, and you were talking about, that's kind of I think that's kind of where Andy's going to be going with his message, is some of the things that are going on, not just with the Kingdom Now message, but there's also this, you know, we don't want to hear correction. What we want to hear is some nice, sweet messages. We want you to make us feel good. You need to affirm us, make us feel better about ourselves, because we're all so downtrodden. We need to be encouraged. We need to have a message that encourages us. So if you don't have an encouraging message, would you please just, you know, forget it? And, you know, and in fact, we're going to forget it, because we don't want to hear anything that's going to correct us in some way. I don't know about you, but I mean, I've been a Christian for a long time now, and I don't think there's a day that goes by where I need God to bring a correcting word to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's just, Charlie gets in the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that one day I'm going to be free, just like you were singing the song. I'm going to be free from this earth suit. I call this an earth suit. Aren't you glad that these earth suits that get old, we're going to be free, and God's going to give us a new earth suit. Mm-hmm. And that one will never get old. Praise God. And so, in fact, you know, you all know this, you already know this, you're eternal beings, really, right? You know, if you're born again, you're eternally alive already, you know. You're not going to enter into eternity when you die. You're not going to enter into eternity when Jesus comes back. You're already in eternity. You're already there. It's just you're still stuck in this earth suit that's getting old and is not wanting to do what you want it to do, and what you know that you should be doing, and you thought you still could do, and your body says, no, you can't. Right now, we're moving from one house to another, and my body is going nuts, and it's screaming at me, saying, Charlie, you idiot, what are you doing? But I'm thankful that one day I'm going to be free from this one, and I'm going to have the body that God intends for us to have. But in that flesh, in that body that we get, it's not going to be rebellious. You know, it's not going to be craving the things that are of Babylon. It's not going to be craving the things that are of this world. It's going to crave God. It's going to crave New Jerusalem. And that's what we all in our hearts, that is what we crave, right? I mean, that's what we're craving, is to see Him and to be in New Jerusalem, because we're born from above, and we're born from there. But anyway, what we see going on in our world, especially in what we call the church, the established church, is we're hearing time after time how that the message is no longer, you know, to crave after God. It's no longer to crave New Jerusalem. It's to crave whatever you can please yourself with in this world. And that seems to be what's happening. And so God is, you know, saying here that there's going to be a famine for the word. And that's what we're seeing, is a famine for the word. And you have to search. I hear people say this all the time. I would love to find a church that where I can just hear the word of God preached. Thankfully, you found a church where they're preaching and teaching you the word of God. But they're far and few between. And one of the things you find, too, is that a lot of the churches that are sticklers about saying, hey, whatever God says, that's what we want to hear. We want the word of God. We don't want to just hear whatever's nice and sweet. What's sad about that is that you're not going to see huge crowds there. And you got to ask yourself the question, why? What is that? What's going on? It is the trend of the flow of this world that's pulling people away from God. I know, what is it, Romans 10:17, that says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say that faith comes by having heard. It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, you got to keep on hearing what God has to say. You can't just have something that you heard back when you were a kid and expect to stay on fire for God. You know, I'm constantly, like I said, I'm constantly needing God to correct my course, to keep me, straightened out, and He lovingly corrects me. And I'm so thankful for it. And when he doesn't, my wife does. And so, I just love it. She'll take me by the hand and she'll lead me over to the couch. And I know that when she's taking me by the hand and leading me to the couch, there's something I've been overlooking that I'm doing that I'm not aware of. Gentlemen, is there any of you that can bear witness to what I'm saying? That there's just times where we just don't know how stupid we're being, you know. So we just need that. And the Holy Spirit does that if we'll let Him. Praise God. So what I find in the book, some of you probably wonder, well, I thought this guy was going to talk to us about the book of Revelation. Well, I will. Because one of the fascinating things, and this is one of the reasons why that I'm amazed at how many people stay away from the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, is that found there in the very first chapter in verse 3 is a blessing. It says, blessed is he that reads this book, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the words of this prophecy. It talks about keeping the word, keeping what God is giving you through this message. And so the reader is blessed, the hearers are blessed. You know, there's not one book in the Bible besides this one that actually starts off that way. This one says, I mean, obviously you're blessed by all the Word of God. But this one, he specifically is saying, you just need to know this, that I put a special blessing on this book. And it's no wonder that the enemy fights it so hard and tries to keep people out of it. But one of the things that we see in chapters 2 and 3 is he gets into talking to the body of Christ. He gets into talking to the church and lovingly brings correction to the church. There's only two of those churches in the seven that he doesn't bring a lot of correction to. But the others, you know, there's all this correction. But he ends every statement to every church with this statement. He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And so every one of them, seven times, he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He's not saying, let them hear what the preacher's saying so much. He says, let them hear what the Spirit of God, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because, you know, in every message that you ever hear, there's something specific that God wants to say to you. There's something that He wants to deal with you about. And so there's always something, even if you've heard the same, even if you've heard everything I'm sharing with you this morning, no matter how many times you've heard it, there's still something that God's going to say to you. Every time I study the book of Revelation, I've studied it over and over and over again. But every time I study it, there's something fresh. There's something new. There's something that God shows me. And I go, wow, why didn't I ever see that before? And it's probably because I just wasn't looking, or I just did, maybe I wasn't ready to see that then. But I'm ready now. And so the Lord, He knows how to feed you. He knows what you need right now. And so always be ready to hear what it is He has to say. So He says this seven times. So that means that this is a complete message. That means that this is something that we really need to pay attention to. He wants us to hear what is He saying right now to you. And so we know that I give three references. Jesus makes these references right before he's getting ready to go to the cross. It's one of his last messages to the disciples about the Holy Spirit. He's getting ready to depart. The Holy Spirit's getting ready to come. And so he says, listen, you need to understand, I'm departing, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And here's what you need to know about him. And that is, number one, out of all the different characteristics that he shares with us about the three different times there that I've noted, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, is that he is the Spirit of truth. Now today you hear a lot of people saying, well, I have my own truth. You know, well, I'm going to have my own truth, and that's, you know, you need to be fine with that because this is my truth, and whatever your truth is, that's fine for you, but this is my truth, and I'm going to live my truth. And the truth about that is that your truth may be a complete lie, you know. And, you know, just because you say that's your truth doesn't make it truth. What makes it truth is, did God say it? Because after all, in the garden, isn't that the kind of the game that the enemy played with Eve? And what got us all into the trouble we're in today? You know, he said, well, you know, what about this tree? And Eve said, well, God said we're not to eat of this tree. And Satan says, oh, God, you know, God doesn't really mean that. That's not really what he means. He means this. And so he distorted what God said. He took what God said, and he will always, especially if you're a Christian or if you know anything about the Bible, he's not going to tell you a flat out lie. He's going to distort the truth. He's going to give you a little bit of truth, and then he's going to twist it just a little bit. He's going to tweak it just a little bit so that maybe you'll buy into the lie that he's really heading you toward. And so... We need to be ever listening to what is the Holy Spirit saying to us. This next part I want to talk about is the attitude for hearing, because this is probably the part that we as Christians may get into trouble with. Sometimes we just don't have the proper attitude to listen. And in Proverbs 4, it tells us in 20 through 23, it talks about how he says, "My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them with your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." So notice the attitude that he's telling us right there. He says, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, you need to actually make a deliberate attitude or a decision that I am going to tune in. If I'm expecting to hear something, I mean, come on, you know, this is going to date me. But if you're wanting to hear something on an FM station, you're not going to tune to an AM station. We all understand that because we all got gray hair, so we're good. Okay. So I'm not talking about live streaming here. I'm talking about AM, FM. But anyway, you're not tuning in to an AM station trying to hear an FM station, are you? And so if we want to hear the voice of God, we need to be tuning in to Him. And we need to position ourselves so that we can hear right and truly hear Him. And there's several ways of doing that. And I'll get to that in just a moment. I almost went and jumped ahead of myself. 1 Thessalonians 2. This I thought was really interesting. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men." Now watch this. "But as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe." See, that's a key thing. See, this is what we like to do as Christians a lot of times. We will really tune in. If Andy Woods came to this church and if it was announced that Andy Woods was going to be at this church, you probably wouldn't be able, you'd have to have special reservations to get people in the church, because there would be people outside waiting in line and all this sort of thing, and the place would be packed out. Would you agree? And it's, why? Because he's famous. Because you've heard of him, you've seen him on TV or online, and you know that, you know, he's a popular speaker, and you like what he has to teach, right? He's what we call a big name in the world of preaching the gospel. Okay, and that's fine, but this is the way we humans are, though. We tend to gravitate, you know, toward those big names, and if they come to speak, boy, we'll just be, you know, listening to every word they have to say. But then, you know, Bob says he's going to share on the rapture, and you might, you know, you might hear most of what he has to say, but then you kind of might even tune out and might be thinking about what's going to be for lunch today, you know, because you've heard him a lot of times get up and speak. So you kind of take it for granted a little bit. Now, I'm saying that probably doesn't happen in this church, but it happens in other churches. Okay? But is that not the way we are? It is the way we are. We tend to take for granted what's in front of us. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, you know what was what I really noticed was that you didn't just hear me as me. You weren't just saying, well, you know, you weren't just taking Paul's word for it. You were hearing this word that I was sharing with you as if it was exactly the word of God, which in truth it was. And he said that's what really sparked my interest in you, is that the fact that I saw that you were hearing this as it were the word of God. And that's one of the attitudes that we need to have. Jesus makes a comment about in the parable of the sower. You've probably heard this parable many times, but one of the things that I noticed is that toward the end of the parable, he talks about how that, you know, the sower sowed the seed into the good ground, and the stony ground, the thorny ground. And talks about all the different, you know, ground and what happens to the seed because it's on thorny ground and on stony ground. And then when it's on good ground, it bears much fruit, right? Because it's sown into good ground. And he said, so here's the key thing I want you to learn out of this parable. He says, take heed what you hear, right? So in other words, you don't want to put a lot of garbage in and expect to get a lot of good out. You know, garbage in, garbage out, right? And so the more garbage you're listening to, the more garbage you're going to have coming out of your mouth and it's going to be in your life. You're going to produce the very same things that you put in yourself. And so we all learn that. But that's in Mark chapter 4 that he says that. But in Luke kind of records it a little bit different. Jesus says, take heed how you hear. And so there is an attitude on how we're listening and how we're hearing. It's not just what we hear, but how we're hearing it. And so, like I said, we should have an expectation. God's going to speak to me today. God's going to impart life to me. Because after all, God's word is life. God's breath is on his word. Just the same as when he made Adam and he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. He became a living being. The breath of God is on his word, and you should expect the life of God, the breath of God, to enter into you every time that you're hearing what he has to say. There should be that kind of an expectation. Why am I sharing this with you today? I believe it's because we need to be encouraged in the Lord. God wants you to be strong in these last days. We are in the last days. We see the signs all around us. We're in the last seconds of the last minutes of the last hours of the last days. That's what I believe. And I'm not going to set a date or anything, but don't buy any green bananas. You know, because I think he's coming back really soon. And so we should be encouraging. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, look up. You know, so we do need to be looking up. We need to be looking to him for everything. Be totally dependent on him. Every day I get up, I'm saying, God, I am desperately dependent on you. I am desperately dependent on you. I need you for everything. Without you, I am absolutely. Jesus said in John 15, you can't do anything apart from me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. So just get it in your head now. You can't do anything apart from me. Don't try to do that. Stay connected with me. Let's work together here. Let me flow my life into you. Let me breathe through you. Let me live through you. Let me speak through you. Let's do this together, and you'll see that you'll have much better results in your life. And I'm not talking about getting fancy cars and big mansions and stuff. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about the life that comes from God. So, in 1 Thessalonians, or I already gave you that verse. So I'm back to 2nd, huh? Did I skip it? Okay. Yes. And here we are, Matthew 4:4. Thank you. My special helpmate. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He was rebuking the devil. And he said, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How are we going to make it through these last days? Through all this weirdness, craziness, and all the stuff that's coming out of Washington, D.C.? We live by the word of God. You know, It doesn't matter what Uncle Joe has to say. You know, it doesn't matter what Gavin Grusin has to say. What matters is, what does Jesus have to say? What is he saying to the church today? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? You know, and you know, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And we'd love to quote that one because it's a really, you know, it looks good on a plaque and everything else. But what was he talking about there? He was talking about all of the sufferings and the troubles and the trials that we go through. But we can go through them as long as we are receiving what the Holy Spirit has for us each and every day. We can do this. We can do this. We can make it. And here's the reason why, especially, you know, some of you might think, well, you know what, I think that I'm done, I'm ready to retire, I'm just going to go to church and hear a good word, but I'm in my retirement, so, you know, I'm pretty well done. No, you're not. You know, if you're still here, you're not done.
Amen.
You know, you're not done till Jesus says you're done. And so that means that you still got light that needs to shine in this dark world. And how many know it's gross darkness that's covering the earth right now? And so that means that the light's going to shine even brighter. So what your expectation should be is, Lord, how is my light going to shine brighter today? How are you going to use me today to speak into my family, to speak into my neighbors? You know, you probably got neighbors around you, I would guess. There's probably somebody that you're standing behind in a grocery store, or, you know, of course, you know, I know we've had the 6 feet, you know, thing. But you can still, you know, talk loud. And thank God that we finally, at least in this state, could remove our masks. At least we got the message. A lot of people haven't. But anyway, you know, you still have a lot of people to influence. There's still a lot of people that you come in contact with every day, and everybody is going somewhere forever. They just don't know. They don't realize that. But everybody's going somewhere forever. And they might think they're just going to the grocery store, but they're going somewhere forever. And so who are we going to influence today? Who are we going to let the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ be seen in our lives to? You know, we don't know. We never know. We never know who's watching us. I like to tell the story that my wife likes to tell about a young lady that came running up to her one day. And you'll have to correct me if I don't tell it right, Lisa. So, but she tells it so much better. You want to share it?
I was walking into a meeting it was something I hadn't gone to before.
Was it a business meeting or what?
No, not it was. I don't even remember. It was okay. Something where a bunch of people were getting together for a meeting of some sort. And I walked in, and this girl came running up to me and saying, "Come here, come here! I got to introduce you to her." And she pointed to me and she goes, "This is the woman that had a huge impact on my life." Now I had no idea who she was. I did not know who she was. Back then I was involved in several different ministries, leaderships and stuff, and I had no idea who she was, but she said she had such an impact on my life, she changed my life. And, I kind of acted like I knew who she was, I, you know, because I didn't want to embarrass her. But yeah, if you have no idea whose eyes are on you, whether you're in front of the room, whether you're sitting in the room, whether you're in the grocery store, whether you're driving, you have no idea whose eyes on you and whose lives you are affecting without even knowing.
Yeah, that's that. You did have to mention driving.
I did. I did.
That is
for his benefit.
That is probably the one place where the Holy Spirit has to really work on me some more. Is when I'm driving, I see all these idiots on the road, and I lose my salvation for a brief moment. But because, you know, they cut you off and all this sort of thing, and I just shout praise the Lord at them, you know. But anyway, yeah, I mean, so we just never know. We really don't know or realize just how much we're affecting the people around us. And so You know, try not to be grumpy with your neighbor, you know, and with the person that cuts you off. Charlie, hope you're listening. Preaching to myself. But let Jesus be seen, because we're it. You know, this is what we're here for, a reason. I really do believe this, and I'm getting ready to close. This is my first closing. I really do believe that when Jesus picked the 12 disciples, he handpicked them, and he called them out to be his founding, you know, establishers of what we call the church today. And of course, we know one was a devil, but you know, he picked him too. Because he was part of the plan. But anyway, that got away from where I was going. But I believe that just the same as they were handpicked for the hour to establish the church back then, you've been handpicked for this hour.
Amen.
You're here for a reason. And it may not, you may, I ask the question every day myself, you know, well, what in the world is my reason? You know, why am I here? Why am I still here? I would rather be there. You know, I mean, especially the way this world's going right now, I don't know about you, but I'm longing for there a lot more. This place just doesn't seem to be that comfortable to me anymore. And I don't even really care about being around here much longer. And I'm not suicidal at all. But Lord, if you come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, I get why that's the last statement there in the book of Revelation, where the church cries out, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus," and so that should be our heart. But God's got a purpose for us. Amen. And we need to find what that is. And you know, you may not get a big, huge revelation, but just live through the life of Jesus. Let Jesus live through you. And just say, Lord, every day, just say, Lord, here I am. This is your day. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in this day, in my life, in the earth, even as it is in heaven. And then go. You know, do whatever it is you feel like you need to be doing. But let Jesus be seen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We got a video that we're going to share. What this video is, and before we do that, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for, again, I want to thank you for giving me the privilege of sharing with these beautiful people. These are your saints. They're precious in your sight. And Lord, I haven't a clue what each person is going through, or what they've heard yesterday or even this morning, what the enemy may have put in front of them, or what's going on. But Lord, you know each and every one of us. You know the battles that we all go through. And I'm so thankful that your words of life, they are indeed life. And you are rebuking the darkness, and you are breathing into us and upon us your life, that we might be light shining in the darkness. Lord, I pray that you would encourage everyone with this word today and stir their hearts. Lord, if there is something that was said that you can work with at all, Lord, work with that, and don't let them rest until they have sought you out on it, whatever it is. May it stir in their hearts the rest of the day and the days to come. Lord, I know that only you give life. Only you have the words of life, of eternal life. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for speaking to each and everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.